Revelation chapter 20. We're going to begin reading with the 11th verse and then read down through the second verse of chapter 21. I don't really expect to get quite that far today, but we're going to read that scripture verse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and we can read these your precious book and come together and study it together and learn from you. And I just ask, Father, that there not be one person here that does not know you as their Savior. Because if they don't, they've missed out on life completely. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They need to find life, and only through you, Lord Jesus, can they find life. And so please today, they will invite you into their hearts. And please, you will grow us and show us your way and will. Put a burning in our heart for the lost that are going to face this time. Oh, please, please, dear Lord, help us to win our family members and to realize how serious it is that they have fallen away and went in the wrong direction. And they'll not only face eternity in the lake of fire, but they'll also have to face a terrible judgment for what they have done in refusing you. So please today, dear Lord, that all here come to the Lord Jesus and all here grow and get busy about serving you and praising you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We find ourselves at the great white throne. We have looked at that 11th verse last week. We have found our way through the 7 years of tribulation. We have looked briefly at the thousand-year reign of Christ. And just think of that. Now, here, the old devil is loosed. He is going to and fro to destroy every individual he can destroy. He wants to destroy the testimony of believers. He wants to keep folks from getting saved. And he does all the work he can do. Sin entered in back in the day of Adam and Eve, and sin has been present ever since. And that old devil is working his best to get and to gain all that he can. And so we have something that is different here during this thousand years, and I want to just spend a couple of minutes before we get to this place of judgment. Because during this millennial reign of Christ, this thousand years, there's something that's going to go on that's never went on upon this earth since Adam and Eve sinned. And that was, we have perfect peace. We will have the King of Kings ruling and reigning here upon earth for 1,000 years. There will be peace. Every person that decides to do something against the Lord, he will judge them perfectly, quickly, and immediately. And so it will have the appearance on earth of complete peace. Also, something that's going to happen during this thousand-year millennium, this thousand-year reign, will be a time of plenty. The Lord Jesus will be King of Kings. He will be here. He will rule and reign. Now, you think about that to start with. He'll be here. The next thing that's going to happen is that the soil is going to begin to be of plenty. It is going to be such a harvest. I heard a verse of Scripture quoted this morning that said the plow will almost overpass the reaper. In other words, they're preparing the soil for the next crop before that crop is out, because that soil is so productive during that period of time. And so there's going to be great wealth. There's going to be plenty. Everyone is going to have everything that they need, and there's the King of Kings ruling and reigning. Won't everyone see and know the difference and bow down to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him? Even under the perfect circumstances, the perfect environment that the Lord Jesus gives for 1,000 years. Also, years of life are long. They won't live the 1,000 years, but they'll be long, be like before the flood. And so the long life, having many, many children, repopulate the earth by millions in that 1,000-year time. Everything perfect. Joy, peace, everything is completely fair. Under those circumstances, under such an environment, surely everyone will recognize God and serve Him as Savior and as Lord and Master. Even under those circumstances, the Scripture tells us that they'll be as the sand of the sea, because in verse 8, and he shall be loose for a short season. In verse 7, go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together to battle, and the number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, that beloved city, Jerusalem, to destroy it. So even under perfect circumstances, well, you know, I would have turned out better if my parents would have, you know, that's what the psychologists and psychiatrists do. If I would have been raised properly, well, then I would have been good. They have the perfect picture of the Lord Jesus here for 1,000 years. And yet multitudes will turn. You see, they still got the sinful heart. They still need to be saved. So circumstances, your environment will not save you. It takes the saving power of Jesus Christ. And God proved that in this 1,000 years. Never before did it happen upon earth, such an environment. And yet still, multitudes reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here comes the judgment. The judgment of the dead, the judgment of the lost, verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. How are they judged? They're judged according to their works. As we talked about last week, it's not only just according to their works, it's according to their works and the result of those works. So understand that not only will you get judged for what you did, but when you led someone astray, you're lost. And you have decided that you don't want the Lord Jesus, and your thought and opinion has been handed down then to your children and to the children's children and the children's children and the children's children's children. That individual will be responsible. Say the parents, my great-great-grandparents were saved. But my great-great-grandparents, they decided not to listen. They decided to reject the Lord Jesus. All those generations, as it comes through, and we need to understand that they will be judged for every work that was against God. Against God, everyone. The books, plural, were opened. A record of the deeds done, the thoughts, the words, the actions, all will be brought out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. According to their works. So you decide today, are you going to continue to reject Jesus Christ? And are you going to continue today then to lead others away from the Lord Jesus? Because it's not just going to be your actions of today. It's going to be your actions until Jesus takes us home if you're born again. If you're lost, those actions will be held against you all the way through the 7 years, the millennial reign of Christ, and then the judgment. God has a perfect accounting. A perfect accounting. Parents, we got a responsibility. We got a responsibility. My parents, my grandparents, didn't bring me to Jesus. How many generations do we have to go back that were not ungodly? They were good people, but they were lost. They were lost. How far back would I have to go into my family to find somebody that was saved? I don't know. I don't know how far I'd have to go back into my family. But somebody sometime made a decision not to follow Christ. And then their children did the same. And their children did the same. And their children did the same. And so when these books are opened, when it's all brought out, please, please understand. How many times do you hear a person say that, well, I know that church doesn't teach what's right, but they got a good youth group. I hear that all the time. They're teaching lies, and yet you're still willing to take your children there? What are you teaching your children? We are responsible as parents, and we need to take this responsibility because these books are going to be opened, and everything that you as a lost person would do, or our parents or our grandparents, think about that. Think about the things that are done in the name of religion. The name of religion. My parents raised me in the United Church of Christ. One of the most liberal churches, don't preach the gospel, don't care about the gospel, worldly. Got married, did the only thing you're supposed to do is go to your wife's church. That was spiritual, wasn't it? Well, she led me astray too. Her parents wasn't going to a place that preached the gospel. How far back? How far back? How about your parents? How about you? Do you realize that every individual, that person, because they chose not to go to church, you know, man, we don't go to church. You know, we don't need Sunday school. We don't go to church. You know, you women, you need church. We don't need church. You look at most churches, and that's where it is. It's full of all the women. The men don't have to go. Well, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers are all going to be held responsible for that action, for that decision, for not choosing Jesus Christ, and then for every generation that they led away from Christ because of it. What a list. Once again, the books were opened. The books were opened. And then it has right there in the center of that verse, another book was opened. That's the book that should have been introduced to my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. Somebody should have sat down and told him, you know, Jesus saves. You're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. Did your parents lead you the wrong way? Did your parents take you away from Jesus Christ? And thankfully, by another means, you were brought this salvation and you were saved. Well, if your parents are still alive, you need to get them saved. You need to share the gospel with them. Otherwise, they're going to be judged for what they have done. Do we understand that judgment? There are degrees of punishment in hell. It's not going to be the murderers and the rapists and those that are going to hold that position. It's going to be the ones that kept me for so many years away from Jesus. I spent almost half my life not knowing Jesus because my parents didn't tell me. They spent most of their life away from Jesus. Some of them all of their life because nobody told them about Jesus. So we need to be that turning point because that judgment, We're not going to be there if you're born again. But people you know and love will be. And how long is God going to tarry before he comes again? Maybe the time is going to be short for you to mess things up. It might not be. It may be years before Jesus returns. We don't know. We don't know. Please understand that there's only one book that we need to be concerned about, and that's the book of life. And you get your name recorded in the book of life by coming by faith to Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. Get past their religion. Get past where they go to church. Tell them about Jesus. Don't talk about doctrine. Don't talk about church membership. Talk to them about Jesus. And if they reject it, then they reject it. But please tell them about Jesus and tell them how Jesus saves. We find in the 13th verse here that the sea, again at the end of verse 12, it says, according to their works. If you'll notice the end of verse 13, according to their works. And we find the beginning of verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. There is a literal physical resurrection of the lost, of the dead. They're going to be raised up. And again, as we talked last week, they're going to be raised up for one reason. At this time, at the close, at the old heaven, the old earth has fled away. Before the new heaven and the new earth arrives, here's this judgment. The final judgment of the lost. And the reason that it's at this time is because every individual that you're responsible for leading away from Christ, you will be held responsible for that. And God has the books, and he's going to open them all up, and he's going to see what we have done if we're lost. Not going to stop with my generation. It goes on my fathers, my grandfathers, my great-grandfather. It goes all the way back to family. Could be a good friend, somebody that kept telling you not to get saved. There's nothing to that. They will be held responsible for who they have led astray. They will be held responsible. Death. The graves will give up the bodies. The seas will give up the bodies that were buried in the seas. Hell. This place that has been kept. So the body and the soul of the lost is going to be reunited. And that's what that's talking about here. Death and hell. And so we have the, we'll deliver up their dead. And so the grave will give up the bodies. The sea will give up the bodies. And the place of torment will be once and for all emptied out. It has been filling up ever since the first person died without Jesus back in Adam and Eve's day. That's how long they have been there. So they have been in the place of torment for 6,000 years. 6,000 years they've been in that place of torment. And if they were responsible for rejecting Christ and their children rejecting Christ, and all the generations through all of time rejected Christ, they will be held responsible. What a level of punishment and torment will come. What a level of torment and punishment will be there. So we find that the place of torment will be emptied out. That's where the souls of those that are dead in Christ, or dead without Christ, those that died without the Lord Jesus, went immediately. Their soul went into this place of torment. It's in the center of the earth. It's in the center of the earth. You want to know where it's at? It's in the center of the earth. And there's going to be a time when they will be delivered up from that location. The graves will be opened up, so the body and the soul will be reunited once again to be placed into that eternal home of the lake of fire. A prison, Hades, a holding place of the wicked. They have been there since the beginning of time. Any time someone died without Jesus, they went to the place of torment. Been filling up all these years. We know as we look at the time, this this punishment or this judgment is accurate according to their works, according to their works. Once again, how can we get away from being judged in such a manner? By the books, if your name is written in the book of life. Be born again. Trust in Jesus. Please, don't miss that. Don't miss that. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy shall be destroyed. That is destroyed is death. Death itself will be cast into the lake of fire. There will be no death after the great white throne. There will be no death. None. None will die in heaven, none will die in earth, no death. The second death that it talks about here at the end of verse 14, this is the second death. The second death and the lake of fire are identical terms. Both describe the eternal state of the wicked. The eternal state of the wicked. Second death is not the annihilation of the soul. Many believe that when you die, it's it. That's done. Many believe that when you die, then somehow or other you have a second chance to get prayed up into heaven. You don't. The decision is made here and now. The only reason that the judgment going from the place of torment in the center of the earth to the lake of fire, the eternal home of the lost, is a transition period between the two is because they have to have proper judgment. And proper judgment can only come at the end, knowing everything. The books are opened. You see, we have the same benefit as a born-again believer. Knowing Jesus, we have the same benefit, but the opposite results. When we spend our time telling people about Jesus and praying for them, And looking that direction, not so much with the world, but with bringing people to the Lord Jesus, every person that was saved is put to our account. And we'll get the rewards when we get there. What a glorious day that's going to be. But the lost, this is a second death, the lake of fire, again, identical terms. The soul is not annihilated. We have Revelation 19, verse 20, you'll find that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then if you'll come to the 10th verse, that's where the devil finds the same. The devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. 1,000 years has passed, and yet they are still not annihilated. 1,000 years, they're still suffering. And 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, there'll still be suffering. While we are rejoicing and in joy and happiness and peace in the new heaven and the new earth, when we have that, they're going to be in a place of torment forever and forever and forever. And their judgment will be according to how wicked they were, according to their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks that have rejected the gospel over and over and over and over again. And they enjoy keeping people from the gospel. Their judgment is going to be strong. In the books, there's no mistake. In the book, there's no mistake. Jesus knows when you come by faith to him. Jesus knows if you reject him. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. whosoever. Whosoever. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Whosoever. The church age brought so much light to the world of Jesus and his salvation, and multitudes rejected. So we went through 7 years of tribulation where the devil had his full rule and reign for 7 years. And then those that were born again that lived through that went into the millennial reign, where they witnessed the King of Kings ruling and reigning for 1,000 years with perfect peace and plenty. Everybody had everything they needed, everything. And they could acknowledge it and know who gave it to them, the King of Kings. And yet still, the Scripture tells us that the armies that were gathered together that came against the King of Kings, against unwalled cities of Jerusalem, was as the number of the sand in the sea. That's how many reject the Lord Jesus. Oh, sinful heart. Oh, sinful heart. So even the very existence of the Lord Jesus didn't seem to turn wicked man away from the thought of spending eternity in the lake of fire. Can we win all of our friends and all of our family members? No. Is it our responsibility to win them? No. Our responsibility is to tell them. That's where we're at. Tell them Jesus saves. Tell them Jesus saves. I don't want them to go into the tribulation period. But I certainly don't want them to spend... That's at least just a 7-year period. But I don't want anybody to spend eternity in the lake of fire, being judged for their deeds. You got folks you know that don't accept this gospel of death, burial, and resurrection. Talk to them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Once you die, physical death, the decision is made. So don't give thought that there's a second chance. When they stand before him at the great white throne, it's not just to decide if you have enough good works. Okay, I know you're a sinner, but I'll still let you in. That's not going to happen. It's done. You die, it's done. So please, let's be busy. We don't know when the Lord's going to come and get us, nor do we know when we're going to die. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus. Whosoever. Let's close in prayer. Father, the question comes, are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? We need to be washed in the blood. Please, that all here have trusted in you as their Savior. We have spent 2 weeks really talking about this time. But it's such an important time. And if we're all born again, if we're all saved here, why, what does it matter? Oh, dear Father, it matters. It matters to all those that will find their home in the place of torment. Please that we trust in you, Lord Jesus, today if we have not. And then let's be busy about serving you and working for you and getting the gospel out. We thank you, Father, that your accounting for the believer is so that every individual, this life has been changed, every individual that's been saved with the personal contact of someone from this church, from the radio, from the website, from somebody handing out the feature. We've decided to have the feature, the daily bread, the sword. Any work that has been brought forth in your name, we as a body of believers will get the credit for it. Thank you, Father, for the strength and the work that you have going on here. But it's not enough. We're never doing enough. We need to take that precious word of the gospel out further and further, and right into our next-door neighbor's house or across the world. Take the gospel out that folks will be saved. Put a stirring in our heart today, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.